Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everybody. Welcome to our radio show. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. I want to welcome you to our program as we look at current events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord Jesus for the rapture of the church. Well, praise the Lord. It is great to be here once again with you on a Saturday afternoon. And, of course, I am coming to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island. And it's a beautiful, beautiful summer day out here today here in New England. And we want to thank each and every one of you every single week for tuning in for the program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. Folks, of course, a lot of insidious happenings going on around the world today, but especially here in the United States of America. And you know, we've learned about the tragedy that happened in Orlando at the hands of an Islamic terrorist. And of course, the President of the United States is afraid to use that phrase, Islamic terrorism. We need to call a spade a spade. This man massacred 49 individuals. And this person pledged allegiance to ISIS. Omar Mateen was the man's name. And again, he's linked to Islamic terrorism, which has been a major problem, not only here in the United States, but in Paris and all over the world. And we need to know, folks, that the true enemy of humanity today is not only Satan, but Satan using his minions to carry out such horrendous, wicked, and insidious, devious attacks against other people who have never done a single thing to them. And even though I oppose this type of lifestyle, it's not natural. The Bible calls it an abomination in no uncertain terms. But yet, folks, nobody deserves to die that way. Nobody. And again, we need to call a spade a spade and let people know that Islamic philosophy is a very, very dangerous philosophy. It's either you convert or you kill the infidels. And if you are not Muslim, then you're an infidel. And this is exactly what Muhammad has taught, and this is exactly what the Quran teaches, and the Hadith, which is the sayings of Muhammad. And so it reminds me of what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse number 2, that he that kills you thinks he's doing God a service. You are not doing my God a service. But if you kill in the name of your religion, you're doing your God a service. And your God is the devil. And Jesus made that very clear in John chapter 8, verse number 44. He says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." Anybody that kills in the name of religion does not serve the God of the Bible, does not serve the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. But you are indeed serving your God, which is the devil. And you know, Ephesians 2:2 says that Satan is the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. If you're not saved, if you have never been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you've never been born again, then you are under the wrath of God. You are either under the grace of God right now, or you are under the wrath of God. God deals with sin in one or two ways. He deals with it either with grace or with wrath. Jesus can be your Savior now, or one day he's going to be your judge. You can try to deny that. You can try to rationalize it all you want. The fact remains the same. Everybody is born with a sinful nature, which is why people do the things that they do today. It's because of that fallen, sinful, Adamic nature that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3. And, folks, since Genesis chapter 3 up until now and going all the way into Revelation chapter 19 at the second coming of Jesus back to this earth, the world has been under a Satanocracy. Because 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan is the god of this world, small g, not a big G, small g. Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us he can transform into an angel. And so he is the main root for the evil that we see in the world today. And folks, if it wasn't for the restraining power of the Holy Spirit of God right now in the church age, that full force of evil would cover this planet. But that can't be the case yet, which is why the Holy Spirit of God is restraining the full force of evil and restraining the future Antichrist from coming on the scene. But when the rapture of the church takes place and the Holy Spirit is not taken out of the world, but the Bible says taken out of the way, big difference there. Words mean things. Holy Spirit is taken out of the way to allow the full force of evil. And that will take place at the rapture of the church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when the church is taken out of here, then, the Bible says, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, that would be the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And that's what people are looking for today, folks. They're looking for signs. They're looking for wonders. They're looking for miracles. And there are many false miracles, many false signs that are going on in the world today. But these are precursors. They are for the ultimate deceiver, for the ultimate false miracle worker, for the ultimate liar who will one day be energized by Satan to carry out his devious deeds to destroy humanity, but most of all, destroy Israel and the Jewish people. But folks, if you're a student of Bible prophecy as I am, we read the end of the book and we know who wins. Revelation 17:14 tells us, these shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Lord of lords and King of kings. When you read Revelation 19:16, it's the reverse. Revelation 19:16 says, upon his vesture and upon his thigh was a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. But folks, we know the next prophetic event on God's calendar will be the rapture of the church of the living God. So we need to be in intense prayer today for the situation going on in America. America, folks, has turned its back on God. America has turned her back on God. America is at war with God. All these fires going on around the country today, burning half the country up, major storms, twisters, violent tornadoes. Folks, it's unprecedented in this country simply because America has turned its back on God. America has called good evil and evil good. And all because the government legalizes sin, folks, doesn't make it moral and it doesn't make it right. We need to stand on the plain sense teachings of the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is perspicuous. It gives a clear, unambiguous account, clear doctrine, as long as you take it for its plain sense, literal meaning. I'm going to talk about that on today's show as I talk about replacement theology, spiritual myopia, because, folks, that's exactly what replacement theology is. It's nothing more than spiritual myopia. And we're going to talk about that on today's program. But before I get started, I want to give a heads up to all of you in Little Rock, Arkansas. I am coming to Little Rock tomorrow, and I will be at the Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, pastored by Brother Curtis, Brother Alan Curtis, and his people have been going all out for this prophecy conference. They've been putting out flyers. They have been putting ads in the papers. And they're really going all out and getting the word out for this Bible prophecy conference. I'm going to be preaching there, not Sunday morning, but I will be preaching there Sunday night. We'll kick it off Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night for this Bible prophecy conference. So if you live in Little Rock, Arkansas, we will be at the Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Brother Alan Curtis is the pastor. I don't think the church has a website, but you can Google them and get all of the information, the address, and I hope that you could be there for Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. We're going to hit it hard. As I look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy, again, that will be tomorrow night. That will be June 19th at the Hope Missionary Baptist Church. We'll go from the 19th through the 21st. So I hope that you can make it. Also, our Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel is coming up September 3rd through the 14th, 2016. 11 days, not only in Israel, but also we'll spend a day in southern Jordan at a place called Petra. And folks, I'm going to be teaching Bible prophecy on location in Israel and in Petra in southern Jordan. It's going to be a trip of a lifetime, 11 days in the land of the Bible. If you would like to come with us on the Bible prophecy tour to Israel, then contact our tour operator, Christian Tours to Israel. They're also known as Christian Tours LLC. Ask for my friend, Eyal Evans, E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evans, E, V as in Victor, E as in Eddie, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, Evans, Eyal Evans. Let Eyal know you want to join August Rosado on the Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel, September 3rd through the 14th, this year, 2016. Their toll-free number is 1-888-300-3038. That's 1-888-300-3038. And so I hope that you can make it with us on this Bible prophecy tour of a lifetime to the land of Israel. You will never read that Bible, folks, the same way again. What I want to do this morning, I should say this afternoon, is again I want to talk about replacement theology, which I consider to be nothing more than spiritual myopia. And, you know, folks, if you believe in replacement theology, then my advice to you is to rip Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 out of your Bible. Because as long as those passages are in the Scripture, and they'll always be in the Scriptures, Paul the Apostle, who was a first century, born-again Jewish rabbi, Paul clearly refutes the doctrine. It was a problem in his day. It was a problem in the late first century and onward. And, folks, it's a major problem today in the church, as well as a lot of Bible seminaries that are out there today. And if you have your Bible, you can read along with me in Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1, and Paul says this, "I say then, hath God cast away his people Okay, there's the question. Hath God cast away his people? Now, of course, Paul was probably expecting a negative answer. And, of course, the answer would have probably been yes. God has cast away his people. Now, folks, this chapter is not designed to show that God has not abrogated his promises to Israel. Israel has only temporarily been set aside, as God is now working through his ecclesia, his called out ones, called the church. But Paul says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? And here's the answer, God forbid. May it never be. He says this, for I am also Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul is saying God has not cast away Israel, and then he gives his own heritage as being a Jew. He says, I am an Israelite. I even give this tribal ancestry. I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Then he says in verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So Paul is making it very clear that God has not cast away Israel. Israel has been temporarily set aside for now because of unbelief. But God has not abrogated to the Jewish people. Now, folks, there has been a battle in the church today concerning Israel's future in God's prophetic program. And there are those who use the allegorical method of interpretation and say Israel has no future and the church has replaced Israel. Now, those like myself who are dispensational and have a very high view of the scriptures, we take the Bible for its plain sense literal meaning, for its plain sense literal interpretation. We as dispensationalists see a distinction between Israel and the church. Now, those who hold to replacement theology, or what they would call RP, see the church as a continuation of Israel today. And they see God transferring all the promises he made to Israel over to the church. And, folks, we are not in agreement with this in any way, shape, or form, especially we here at Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. Now, those of us who are dispensational, we take the Bible for its plain sense, literal meaning, and we see Israel as distinct from the church with all of her promises intact. Even though, as I said, folks, that Israel has been temporarily set aside. God has not, and please let me repeat this, let me emphasize this, God has not abrogated his promises to the Jewish people. If God can break his promises to Israel, then you don't have a leg to stand on either as the church. If God can break his promises to the Jews, then how can you and I rest assured that he's going to keep his promises to us? God still has a plan for the Jews in the future. Dispensation theologians see Israel different from the church. And this is the view that we hold here today at Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. And, of course, you know, there is a word out there called supersessionism. Supersessionism. Supersessionism simply means the church has superseded Israel. And, of course, in the 4th century A.D., the Roman Catholic Church adopted replacement theology and has made it dogma. But then in 1965, the Vatican Council II affirmed that the Roman, the new people of God, they claim that the ecclesiastical structures of the church have replaced the Jewish ecclesiastical structures of Judaism. They now see Israel as irrelevant in terms of eschatology. and the church replacing her as the new Israel. Many Christians, as I said, Bible seminaries today, hold to this Roman Catholic dogma of replacement theology today. And folks, it's unfortunate. Supersessionism or replacement theology says, in a nutshell, that God is finished with Israel and the church has replaced Israel in God's economy. And what they're saying is, folks, is that there is no divinely ordained future for Israel in God's prophetic program. And, folks, I'm going to lay it right out there. This is one of the most anti-Semitic doctrines that have plagued the church today, and it's very unfortunate. But replacement theology versus Jewish history, does replacement theology have a foot to stand on in terms of coming up against Jewish history? Well, folks, how can one account for the preservation of the Jewish people throughout the centuries? How can one explain, after the Roman destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD, that for nearly 2,000 years, and they're in their land, and they have their own state today, how can one account for that if replacement theology is true? If replacement theology is true, the Jews should have been out of the picture a long time ago, since the Romans destroyed the temple in 70 AD. And by the way, there should be no Jewish people existing today. There should be no rebirth of the Jewish state of Israel May the 14th of 1948. Folks, there should be no Israel at all. Now, considering all these factors, there are serious problems. Supersessionism or replacement theology. How does one who adheres to replacement theology account for the survival of the Jewish people? How do you account for that? Since the establishment of the church at Pentecost 2,000 years ago until now, the Jews have been preserved by God. They have been preserved. They have survived, ladies and gentlemen, against all odds. How can one of replacement theology account for this if God is done with Israel? How can one in replacement theology account for Israel being victorious over four major wars? The War of Independence in 1948, the Suez Canal War of 1956, the 1967 Six-Day War, and the 1973 Yom Kippur War. They were successful in all four major wars, where the Arab world wanted to wipe them out. They all failed, and there still exists today a state called the Jewish State of Israel. Israel victorious in four major wars, and the reestablishment of the nation of Israel after nearly 1,897 years in dispersion, being persecuted and killed as they wandered from nation to nation. If replacement theology is true and God is finished with Israel, how do you account for all of that? Now, of course, the easy way out would be, well, August, that's just a coincidence. No, folks, I believe that is a God incidence and not a coincidence. But what about the New Testament view of Israel? Folks, we as Bible-believing dispensational Christians who take the scriptures for their literal, plain sense meaning, we believe Israel is distinct from the church. Israel and the church should not be confused at all. Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel. We should not confuse those words at all. Israel has been God's chosen people, and God has given them a land going back 4,000 years. There was no church until we get to Pentecost. The church is a new, totally separate entity born on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. God has been working through the church for the past 2,000 years to evangelize the world with the gospel during Israel's present-day blindness. And what is their present-day blindness? Their current rejection of Israel as the Messiah. Do you remember what Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 11 and verse number 25? He's given a warning to the church. He says, "For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." And when it comes to Israel's place in God's future program, the church is seriously ignorant, and Paul brings that fact out. He said, "I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren." He's talking to the church. "Lest you should be wise in your own conceit." And therein is the problem, placement theology, is that you have those in that theological system that are wise in their own conceit. They don't care what the scriptures say. They're allegorizing the scriptures. They're manipulating the scriptures. They're twisting the scriptures to make it sound any way that they want. And by the way, folks, allegorizing the scriptures is blasphemous. It's blasphemous. When you spiritualize the scriptures, you are making it sound any way that you want. You're in the driver's seat. You are in control. You are making the scriptures become subjective. Subjective to what you think, your ideas, your suppositions, your conjectures, what you're bringing to the table. You're making the scriptures become subjective. You're opening up the scriptures to all kinds of doubts and speculation. That I consider is just absolutely blasphemous. But when you take the Bible for its plain sense, literal meaning, you are making the scriptures objective. You're taking the Bible for what the Bible says. You're taking the scriptures at face value for what the Word of God says, comparing scripture with scripture, what we call inductive Bible study. You compare scripture with scripture, taking the scriptures for their historical and their literal and grammatical interpretation. And when you approach the scriptures that way, folks, you can never go wrong doctrinally. But when you spiritualize, then you're making the scriptures become objective. Remember, the scriptures are perspicuous. They give a clear, unambiguous account of Bible doctrine. It's man that has spiritual myopia. It is man that has blurred the scriptures. It is man that has muddied the waters of when it comes to the literal interpretation of Bible doctrine. So Paul says in Romans 11:25, "I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, lest you should be wise in your own conceits." That's the problem. That blindness in part has happened to Israel, their rejection of Christ, until the fullness of the Gentiles become it. The fullness of the Gentiles will come to an end, not at the rapture, but at the second coming of Jesus back to this earth. The future promise of the church is not supersessionism, folks. It's not the church being superior to the nation of Israel. But the future for the church is the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church of the living God. Rapture the church up into glory. The church partakes of the benefits of the Abrahamic covenant and the benefits of the new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31. Church is not, I repeat, not the fulfillment of those covenants. Those covenants will find their fulfillment with Israel at Jesus' second coming back to earth at the end of the tribulation period, when the time for the Gentiles will be fulfilled, when he puts an end to all Gentile world powers. Well, when did the times of the Gentiles begin? The times of the Gentiles commenced in 605 B.C. with the Babylonian invasion of Jerusalem, taking Daniel and his three Jewish buddies, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or you better know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to Babylonian captivity in 605 BC, the second wave of Babylonian invasions in 597 BC. Ezekiel and 10,000 other Jewish chapters go into the Babylonian captivity. Daniel and Ezekiel are known as the prophets of the exile. And then in 586 BC, Jerusalem was destroyed in the third wave of Babylonian invasion. The temple was destroyed. The Jews taken to Babylon for 70 years. That commenced the times of the Gentiles. We have been in the times of the Gentiles ever since. What is the times of the Gentiles? The times of the Gentiles is that time period when Gentile world forces are in control of Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people. And even though, you know, Israel is a sovereign state, and even though they have control of Jerusalem, that happened during the Six-Day War of 1967, but still you have Gentile world forces trying to push Israel into a corner to give up more land to a people sworn to their very destruction and to give up East Jerusalem for a so-called future Palestinian state. And folks, if I understand Bible prophecy correctly, that will never, ever happen. Because of present-day unbelief and blindness, Israel has been sidelined, and the church today has taken center stage. God is working through the church in the church age to carry out the Great Commission. And that Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, if you're a Calvinist, you know, that would be the Great Commission. You know, who cares about people dying and going to hell? God is destined this one to heaven, destined that one, to go to hell. And nothing can be further from the truth. I mean, that is just heretical doctrine, to say the least. But folks, for 1,900 years, Israel has been sidelined, and even in the diaspora, up until the rebirth of the state of Israel. Israel has been sidelined as God is working through the church. But listen, even in unbelief, God has carefully preserved the Jewish people throughout their wanderings, being persecuted and killed along the way by those who profess to be Christians. And I speak this to the shame of the church today. But folks, what about Israel in the future? Well, if I continue to read on in Romans chapter 11, Paul is warning the Gentiles, don't you dare boast over their present-day blindness, and don't you dare boast over their fall. Paul says in Romans 11:13, for as I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, my fellow Jewish brethren, and I say something. Paul says, I want to provoke them to jealousy. And how do we provoke the Jews today to jealousy? Well, we see that they gave us the scriptures based on Romans chapter 3 and verse number 2. We have to provoke them to jealousy and show them that we love the scriptures that they gave us more than they love the scriptures, that we love their land more than they love their own land, and that we care for their own welfare more than that they even care for their own welfare. Verse 15, Paul says, for if the casting away of death be the reconciling of the world, okay, therefore led to the church being grafted into the house of Israel. Then Paul says this, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Paul says, even though they have fallen, they're going to one day go against replacement theology. He says this, for if the first fruit be holy, talking about the Jews, the lump, the Gentiles, is also holy. And if the root be holy, that will be Israel, so are the branches, the Jewish people. And if some of the branches be broken off, the natural branches referring to the Jews, and thou, being a wild olive tree, that would be the Gentiles, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root bear thee. The root is Israel. The branches don't boast against the root. It's the root that bolts against the branches because it's the root that's holding the branches. But the natural branches are the Jews, and the wild olive tree would be the Gentiles. Bolts not against the branches. Verse 19, that will say, the branches were broken off. Replacement theology. The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Paul says, I agree with you partly. He says in verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, don't you dare boast, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he spare not thee also. Don't you boast, because the judgment of God will come down on you. Then he says in verse number 23, and they, talking about the Jews, also, they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in. Again, folks, that's going to be future. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, the Gentiles, and were grafted in contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, talking about the Jews, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? And folks, again, Paul makes that very clear, that in the future, they're going to be grafted in again. When God is finished with the church, in the church age, and the church is taken out at the rapture to glory, Israel will now take center stage during the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. We call this the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. This will be the 7-year period of tribulation to come. Everything to do with Israel and nothing to do with the church. Remember, it's a time of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. Unregenerate Israel and the unregenerate, Christ-rejecting Gentile nations of the world will go through this 7-year period. Unfortunately, 2/3 of the Jewish people in the tribulation period will die. They will lose their life. But 1/3 will be spared and sheltered at Petra during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That's Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. That's the bad news. But the good news is that in the future, all Israel shall be saved. That's what Paul said in Romans 11, 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Excuse me, Jesus returns at his second coming. Israel will know it, and they will call upon the name of the Lord. How do we know that? Zechariah 12:10, Zechariah 13:9, Romans 11:26, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7, Matthew 24:30-31. Remember, Paul said in Romans 11:25 that Israel will remain in blindness until the times of the Gentiles. That will come to an end at the second coming of Jesus Christ when he puts an end to Gentile world powers. That period will not end at the rapture, but at Jesus' second coming when he puts an end to Gentile world rule. Jesus will overthrow the kingdoms of this world and establish his own theocratic kingdom. Remember Revelation 11:15? The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. When this happens, then Paul says in Romans 11:26, and so all Israel shall be saved. This does not happen at the rapture again, folks, but at the end of that 7-year period of tribulation, at the second coming of Jesus back to this earth. Remember, theocracy was lost at Genesis chapter number 3. From Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 3, there was a theocracy. God ruled over his creation. That theocracy was lost when Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed the Lord, partook of the forbidden tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then when that happened, sin came into the world, death came into the world, and here we are today with a messed up world going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. We are now in a Satanocracy. That Satanocracy began in Genesis chapter 3 and will go all the way through to Revelation 19 at the second coming of Jesus. Jesus will put an end to that Satanocracy and reestablish a theocracy, and that will be from Revelation chapters 20 through 22. Jesus Christ will overthrow the kingdoms of this world. When this happens, Paul says, all Israel shall be saved. So, folks, if replacement theology is true, none of these eschatological events concerning Israel should happen. And as a matter of fact, Jesus promised his 12 disciples that in the kingdom they will sit upon thrones judging the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Yet Jesus uses the word in the regeneration in Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 28. The word regeneration is that Greek word paleogenesia, where we get the phrase Genesis again. If Israel has no future according to replacement theology, why will the disciples rule over the 12 tribes of Israel in the kingdom to come? Makes no sense at all. Also, in Ezekiel chapters 47 through 48, in the kingdom, the 12 tribes will have 12 gates that they will enter into. And, folks, each tribe will have their own gate. Boils down to this: the literal interpretation of Scripture or the allegorical interpretation of Scripture. Replacement theology has reared its ugly head since the end of the first century. And as stated before, the Roman Catholic Church has always held the view that the church has replaced Israel and that Catholicism is the new Israel. And again, unfortunately, many Christian denominations today hold to Reformed theology and embrace this view as well. They spiritualize the promised passages that God made to the Jewish people to mean something else. Augustine, in cahoots with the Roman Catholic Church, popularized this theory in his book, The City of God. And, you know, during the latter half of the 4th century A.D., Augustine actually states in his book, The City of God, that he previously was a Kileist. Kileist or Kileism is one who believed in a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. And actually, Kileism was the official view of the early church in the 1st century A.D. up until the 4th century A.D. with Roman Catholicism and Augustine. And so today we call this premillennialism position. That's a position that we hold to. Augustine broke with this and allegorized the scriptures to say that the church age is the millennial kingdom, which began at the cross up until an indefinite period of time. We are in the millennial kingdom. Folks, take a look out your window today. Look at the news today, and you tell me if we're in the millennial kingdom and if Jesus is reigning over the nations of the world today. It's absolutely ludicrous. This involves the breaking of all the promises to Israel and transferring those promises to the church. So, folks, in conclusion, Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel. God has a program for both entities in the future that are distinct from one another. Replacement theology has been a doctrine of devils that has birthed anti-Semitism over the centuries. We have liberal Christian denominations today adopting BDS, the bilateral divestment sanctions, like the Presbyterian Church USA and the Methodist Church and so on and so forth. They're divesting against companies that do business with Israel. It's anti-Semitism, folks. They are sympathetic to the cause of the Palestinians despite Palestinian terrorism against the Jewish people. In the church today that are denying the future promises that God made with the Jewish people. The allegorical method of interpretation of the Bible over the literal plain sense teaching of the scriptures concerning God's program from Israel has developed into spiritual myopia in the church today. They have muddied the waters of scriptures and are given a biased, ambiguous interpretation of the scriptures. The Bible, as I said, folks, is perspicuous. It gives a clear, unambiguous account when taken literally. God has a plan for Israel in the future. Make no mistake about that whatsoever. But the plan for Israel is different from the plan that he has for the church. The church is center stage right now in the church age. But the church will be taken off the main stage at the rapture of the church. Then God in the future will deal with Israel in the tribulation period to bring her to faith to Israel's Messiah, the Lord Jesus, at his second coming back to this earth. So, folks, again, take the Bible for its plain sense, literal meaning. If the plain sense makes sense, don't look for any other sense, or you will end up with nonsense. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, it's as simple as ABC. A, all are sinners. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. C, confess your sins to the Lord. Call upon him in faith, and he will save you from your sins. That's what the Bible says in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, folks, I'm out of time. I've got to bring this broadcast to a close. Don't forget, I'll be in Little Rock, Arkansas, June the 19th, 2016, going through the 21st at Hope Missionary Baptist Church. I hope to see you there. And don't forget, our Bible prophecy tour to Israel, September 3rd through the 14th, 2016. If you want to go, call my tour operator, Eyal Evan, at Christian Tours LLC, 1-888-330-38. Don't forget to visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Sign up for our newsletter. They go out, excuse me, every single week. Follow me on the social media, Facebook, August Rosado. Also follow me on Twitter, Bible_prophecy or August Rosado, and on LinkedIn, Evangelist August Rosado. Until next week, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. Shalom and praise.